I'm Jean Marie Laskus. I'm a journalist. I spent my career helping Americans understand the lives of other Americans. Coal miners, gun shop clerks, staffers in the White House mailroom. In my new podcast, Cement City, I tell the story of an entire town. A dying town that you have absolutely no reason to care about. But trust me, you will. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Bill's sideline reporter, Sal Capaccio, live on WBEN, brought to you by Batavia Downs Gaming. They don't just want you to like coming there. They want you to love coming there. Well, Sal, just back from Seattle. Bills fans showed up big time out there. Can you talk about that? I mean, both Josh Allen and Sean McDermott talked about the Bills crowd that was on hand.
Yeah. Good morning to you. You know who else talked about it? Their quarterback, Geno Smith. Geno Smith actually said in his postgame press conference, it felt like a road game at times. This is a stadium that prides itself. They literally have what's called the 12s and the 12th man. And the Buffalo Bills fans, Bills Mafia, essentially took over that stadium as it went on. Because obviously it's a lot easier when your team's winning and rolling and the other team is kind of checked out. But it was, look, when the schedule came out, I heard from a lot of Bills fans that said, destination game, destination city. They hadn't been to Seattle. The Bills hadn't in 8 years, and people want to go visit the Great Northwest. Well, they showed up yesterday, and they had a lot to cheer about.
It was, I mean, from start to finish, Sal, a great game for Bills fans at the start, because you're watching some of these other games wrap up and everything's going Buffalo's way, and then the Bills got going, and from the get-go, it was amazing. I want to say that Keon Coleman touchdown catch, it was just an unbelievable snag that he really made look easy, Sal. I mean, he comes away with that ball like it was nothing. He seems to be hitting his stride.
He's getting better every week. And I know that like the numbers were even better last week, but this week I think he took his game to another new level, which is the ability to do that in the red zone, which, you know, I think that they've kind of been wanting to see happen and really worked on a lot in training camp. Never really had that opportunity. They went to him twice, right? The first one didn't work out. And how about Josh Allen, a third down, going right back to him to do it over Reek Wollen, by the way, who's a really long, athletic corner. Fantastic catch. But the other thing I noticed, too, I don't know if you know, guys, a subtle play that he didn't even catch late in the game. He drew a pass interference down the field. And the only reason why was because his get off, his release was so good that the corner had to grab him. And that's something that he was kind of, you know, criticized about, I guess. You're one of the weaker part of his games coming in the league was his release off the line of scrimmage. But his body control when he has the ball is unbelievable. And that's something we saw a lot of in training camp. He doesn't separate with his speed. He separates with his ability to catch the ball over you and to stay on his feet.
You know, the game could have shifted after Josh's interception. Can you talk about how the Bills responded, really setting the tone for the rest of the game?
Well, let me first say how Josh responded to the interception. And actually, let me go back a second even before that. So we all know going into the game, a lot was made about Josh Allen not throwing an interception all year. He actually previously, like right before that, he had set the Bills record during the game, all-time record for most consecutive passes without an interception. Well, then, bam, he throws one. But on the play, there wasn't a great replay on Fox. I rewatched the game. If you watch, what happened was Amari Cooper actually slipped a little bit, and Josh kind of held back, and I don't think he wanted to throw the ball, but he's too late already. He's in his motion. So that's just bad luck, not about chemistry with Amari Cooper or anything like that. But after it happened, Josh actually was very involved with bringing the runner down, the defender, as he was coming down. If Josh doesn't get involved there, he might score. Well, because Josh and other players brought the player down, that created a situation where they had to score, and ultimately they didn't, and the Bills stopped them on four straight plays. So it was a huge momentum shift, and you know, who knows how the game turns out if they do score. I'm not saying that the Seahawks would have won. The Bills were still playing well, but certainly they could have easily taken the lead. It could have been a different game.
Well, it's got to be a great mood on that plane coming home, a long trip, knowing that you took care of business and you sit so pretty in the standing, Sal. It's insane how the Bills have just totally distanced themselves. So much talk going into the year about, you know, well, Miami, New York, is it going to be the Bills again at the top of the AFC East? Well, I mean, a lot can happen. There's still a lot of football to be played, but it's looking like the Bills to lose more and more each week.
Yeah, first of all, a tired mood on the way home, all right? So I mean, it was a long flight, and it's late at night. But I will say, you're right. Like, you know, just makes everything feel better, right, for everybody. I think when you're getting on the plane, I'm sure players today going into work today and, you know, even after a long flight getting home late at night and early morning hours, you know, they feel better about themselves. And, you know, thankfully, there were no injuries to report from yesterday, which is really big. So all those things kind of add up, make you feel better about yourself going forward. And now you look at the standings going forward. The Dolphins come to town next week. The Bills have a 4.5 game lead on Miami, right? 6-2, 2-5, whatever that is. It's crazy. 3.5, 4 games, because they already beat them once. But, I mean, I'm not kidding. It sounds like kind of like a facetious or sarcastic thing to say. I mean, they could win the division, I think, in the next, like, few weeks. I looked it up. The earliest a team has ever won the division in the NFL has been after week 11. I mean, I don't know if the Bills can do it, but it's certainly got to be mathematically looks like it could be possible. We're after week 8 now, we're going to be after tonight. I mean, if you beat Miami, I don't really know like what the math looks like, but it can't be much more. They would have to literally, Miami or the Jets or New England would have to run the table, and the Bills have to lose out, I think.
Wow. Yeah, you're right.
It had to be something like that. I'm not really sure the math, but isn't it wild to say that? Do you guys remember when 1988, the Bills win the division, the goalposts come down like for the first time when that happened at the stadium?
Yes.
I remember that year, 1988, I was a teenager. The Bills beat the Jets in November and won the division, and that was after week 12. I looked it up, and everyone said how, oh my God, I can't believe how early it is, and it is. Like, nobody wins a division after week 12 in the NFL these days. The last team to do it after week 11, which is the record, was the undefeated Patriots in 2007.
Huh. I mean, it's that big of a gap, and everything seemed to go the Bills' way yesterday, including Sal, and I don't know if you think about this at all, but the only game you could say that wasn't true for was Kansas City. I kind of want them to come in here undefeated.
I don't blame you. I mean, it'd be nice to have them have a loss, because then if they come in here and you're still and you keep rolling, then you could literally overtake them for the one seed, right? I mean, because if you both have the same amount of losses and you beat them head-to-head, you would have that. But there would still be time for them to lose a game, even if that's not the case, Brian. So I totally get it. And it would really provide some juice for that game. It's already a lot of juice for that game. That would provide even more. But look, I mean, the Bills are 6-2 right now. I think most people looking at the schedule, I know I said when the schedule came out, boy, you'd love to go 6-2, but I don't know if that's realistic with this schedule. I think 5-3 you'd take. Well, here they are sitting at 6-2 after all the changes they made, after all the things that people said about what they would be or wouldn't be this year. And look at the next two games even. You got the Dolphins at home, and then you go to the Colts. They certainly have a good look at 8-2 before Kansas City comes to town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
All right.
Wow. Well,
Sal, hopefully you're drying off and get some rest. Get dry and get some rest. And it was great talking with you.
This is Jean Marie Laskus with the podcast Cement City. So there's this election coming up, a big one, and one guy's been indicted. People are talking voter fraud. Democracy itself is on the line. Sound familiar? Well, this isn't that election. This one is in Denora, Pennsylvania, a dying town in the middle of nowhere, where I bought a house and stayed for 3 years. Listen to and follow Cement City, an Odyssey original podcast in partnership with Cement City Productions, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.